Peace be with you. I am Bruce Wozniak. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other platforms. Thanks so much for joining me for this and hopefully many other episodes. The show website is CatholicSportsRadio.net, which has everything from a built-in player to hear each episode there, links to various podcast platforms where you can listen and subscribe slash follow, logos to click on to follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, as well as join the Facebook group. Plus, the website has a bio about me and even an area called For Listeners, where you can submit prayer requests. The website was built by a company called Merchantside Marketing Group, which has various plans for building a website for you or someone you know, including one option out of many that you will see ads for on CatholicSportsRadio.net, $99 a month. By all means, when you contact them, tell them that you heard about them on Catholic Sports Radio. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. I'm thinking today about hockey players sliding in front of a slap shot, not letting the puck get as far as their goaltender. I'm thinking, too, of football players throwing themselves in front of an opponent to block for a teammate to run through. I can also very easily picture a baseball player who runs at top speed across the field to chase a fly ball and collides with and sometimes even flips over the wall just to make a catch for one out. The list certainly goes on in terms of other sports where athletes physically place themselves in a position that in all likelihood will lead to pain, if not even possible injury, all for the good of the team, trying to help his or her teammates win. It conjures up thoughts of Romans chapter 12, where in verse 1 we hear, "I urge you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, your spiritual worship." Let us remember these words from the New Testament as we live out each day for our Heavenly Father. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest is the assistant track and field coach and recruitment coordinator at Belmont Abbey College while she's also studying to become a licensed sports psychologist. Previously, she was on staff with the track coaches at Immaculata LaSalle High School in Miami. As a student athlete, she competed in the 200-meter and javelin at Belmont Abbey College, having also competed in track and field in high school. There was also some very notable sports involvement in her family, which we will talk about today. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Linda Randazzo.
Thanks so much, Bruce, for having me here with you today. I'm super, super excited to chat with you.
Absolutely, and likewise, really glad to have you on the show. You sent me something in the lead-up to our conversation today in which you wrote, quote, "Cradle Catholic due to Italian and Hispanic descent. However, it was more cultural Catholicism," end quote. What did you mean by that?
Yeah, absolutely. So growing up in Miami, Florida, around a lot of Hispanics who had kind of immigrated from Cuba, and my dad had relocated while he was training for his professional career. So my mother is Dominican, and my dad is Italian. And I think anybody who has grown up in an Italian or in a Hispanic household, there's no shortage of rosaries, crucifixes. You know, there's definitely going to be some statue of Padre Pio somewhere, especially for my fellow Italian Americans. But it seemed to just kind of be, you go to Mass, not because it's what you're supposed to do, every week, but maybe you go on, you know, Easter Sunday, on Christmas, but there's not that foundation of intellectual prowess, I guess, that goes with it, of why are we Catholic more than just kind of we were born into it. So I hope that kind of answers that question a little bit more. I know that's maybe a little vague to talk about, but does that kind of answer your question there?
Yeah, it does, because hearing it takes me back to my childhood, because And for the first time in 145 episodes, I believe this is the first time I'm actually sharing this. Despite my big, long Polish last name, I'm actually half Italian. And the half Italian in me can think back to those days in my childhood and being with my Italian grandparents and going to their church. And it was rather social.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, you see everybody you know, and you kind of talk to them before Mass, and you know you're going to talk to them and talk to them and talk to them after Mass. So, it is a very cultural / social aspect. And yes, by all means, you're right about this room having this on the stereo and this room having this hanging on the wall. And you go through, you know, all the different rooms in my grandmother's house, and, you know, there's signs of the faith all over, very outward. So I get that. The Italian in me very much gets what you're talking about.
Right. And then it's kind of, you know, we have this rosary up on the mantle, and I would have asked my grandmother, you know, how do you pray? What do you do? And it's kind of just like, you know, kind of like a slap on the back of the hand, you know, don't question, just do it. And it's kind of like, okay, well, why? But I want to understand more. I want to know more about it.
Yeah.
It kind of had that, just that, as you said, that social element to it. Not really an understanding of that it's not just something that you get to experience as being as part of this cultural experience, but also that it's truth. It's not just a part of life. It is, in fact, a way of life, and that's how it should be.
Yeah, and I want to clarify for the listeners. So on the one hand, I also think of my grandfather, and there was never a question. It was going to be Mass on Sundays, but there was never a question. He was going to fall asleep at some point during the Mass. And that kind of lends itself to what you're saying. That's like, well, it's really kind of just like we're going, but ... But I also want to clarify, these were still very devout Catholics that I was blessed to have as grandparents. Mm-hmm. I remember when my grandfather died, I remember going in the hospital room literally like 10-15 minutes, and I was there before my grandmother, and when she arrived, and I did the eulogy, and I talked about this at her funeral, is I remember her devotion, because she came in the hospital room and the very first thing she said to my grandfather was, "Oh Joe, you're with the Lord now." And that obviously touched me, that here's this woman who had just lost her husband of, gosh, well over 50 years. And so you would think it would be tears and "I miss you already," that kind of thing. And her first card that she plays is, "You're with the Lord." And I thought that was so beautiful. So, you know, I in my own defense, or in defense of my own family, I want to kind of paint a similar picture to yours, Linda, but a little bit different. Just to turn the corner here, I do want you to talk about your education throughout your life in terms of the schools that you attended over the years.
Sure thing, absolutely. And there was kind of no question for my parents that I was going to my brother and I were going to be put in the best schools that we possibly could be put in. And these, of course, were all Catholic. And this is something that is really, I also need to take a second to also really shout out my parents. Neither of my parents even finished high school. So for them to put us both through incredible education systems of Catholic schools is something that I am eternally grateful to them for. From kindergarten all the way until eighth grade, I went to St. Teresa, so that was a Carmelite school. Then I had the privilege to attend Immaculata LaSalle High School. That's a Salesian high school. And then after graduating from high school, I kind of transferred around a bit. I ended up at Holy Cross College, which is over in South Bend, Indiana. It's right across the street from Notre Dame. Then ended up somehow at Loyola Chicago. Took a year off before I finally ended up where I still am today, which is Belmont Abbey College. And it was quite a journey, my undergraduate career kind of transferring around, but ultimately ending up exactly where I believe the Lord wanted me.
But still amazing, though, that you batted 1,000. Everything that you just said, 100% Catholic schools.
Uh-huh.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Before we get too deep into other things, since I teased this in the intro, share with the audience about your father and your grandfather in terms of the writing likely having been on the wall that you would end up being involved in sports as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So my grandfather was actually the founder of a Hall of Fame entitled the National Italian American Sports Hall of Fame. And as the name would suggest, it inducts Italian Americans who reached incredible heights in their sport. And inductees include Joe DiMaggio, Jerry Colangelo, Mary Lou Retton, just to name a few. Mm. Having that influence growing up, my dad was very interested in athletics himself, and he actually was a professional boxer up until 1995 when he won the WBC World Boxing Championship title. Wow. Again in 1995. That also just so happens to be the year my brother and I were born, so that kind of was the end of his professional career. Mm. And then kind of moved on to his next career of being a stay-at-home dad.
Okay. And the way I understand it, you actually played sports year-round until you got to high school, at which point you focused on track and field. What other sports did you play? And secondly, you say that track and field was the weakest of all of them, so why did you pick that one to go forward with?
Yeah, absolutely. So I played every sport that I played. Again, I played year-round. Growing up in Miami, Florida, it is sunny year-round. You can play everything. Every time there was a tryout at St. Teresa, I tried out for the team, and by the grace of God, I made the team. I always had to play on the boys' team because my brother and I are both born in 95, and he couldn't play on the girls' team, but I could play on the boys' team. So if we played at the local rec center, I had to join in on the boys. So I played baseball instead of softball, which was really, really interesting. And my parents were a little, they were a little concerned at first, but I wasn't. And I think part of that was growing up around the National Italian American Sports Hall of Fame, there was a banquet every year when we would invite the inductees and they would get up to the podium and they would be talking about, all of the things that made their success possible. And they wouldn't talk about the hours that they spent training or anything like that. What they talked about was their family and their heritage. And as we started talking about at the beginning, for a lot of Italian Americans, heritage and faith go hand in hand. So that greater glory to God. And I think just being around all of these men and women who emphasize the importance of sport and virtue in conjunction with one another, as a little girl, that kind of gave me the just the guts to go out there and play with the guys and just realize that I was doing, and I'd look out at my parents, and in particular at my dad, out never missed a game, let alone a practice, and that was kind of enough. I wasn't playing, it was almost like even at that young age, I knew I was playing for something more than just the game itself. And then going on, of course, into track, I had mentioned with you, kind of in our conversations up until this point, track was actually my weakest, sport, but I loved the way that it challenged me. I found it so elusive. Every other sport I could master. I could hit the, again, and I'm playing alongside the boys, and I'm performing well. I'm right up on par with my brother, even as we're growing up, all the way, through high school. But the elusivity of track and field, it was almost paradoxical how drawn I was to it, because I think honestly I just loved challenging myself. And this was another thing that I also loved, hitting those hard points in my training, and especially when my peers may have been PRing more frequently than me. It was a great practice in kind of stopping and kind of just having gratitude even in that moment. Just thank you, Jesus, in that moment when I'm really frustrated, but I'm still maintaining gratitude, and I'm not letting this defeat keep me from getting up and keeping me from continuing to try.
Fantastic.
Which I knew would serve me later on in life, as because life is full of hardships. So it was more of a training thing for me mentally than anything else. Yeah. But I love track and field. There's no reason behind it. I absolutely love the sport.
So on that note, talk about your high school coaches in terms of the relationship you had with them far and above track and field.
Yeah, so I had the distinct privilege to be coached in high school by Eddie and Amy Cerderes. And in high school, I worked a little bit more closely with Amy than I did with Eddie. But when I returned to coach track and field after graduating from the Abbey, Eddie kind of took me under his wing as his assistant, and I kind of worked as the strength and conditioning and sprints coach alongside him. And, you know, really, they served as professional mentors, of course, you know, teaching me all about the practicalities of, you know, being a coach, but also they served as spiritual directors as well for me, which I think kind of comes with the territory of being a coach. And, but more than anything else, it was incredible to coach alongside a man and a woman who were married, who were devout, who were good to one another, who were good to their craft, and truly doing it for something way, way, way deeper than just themselves or just a paycheck. Mm. And I think we both know that coaching and athletics, the physical element of everything has its limits. If an athlete isn't, you know, if a pole vaulter isn't dropping the pole in the right time element, you know, that's something that you can fix. But when you're working with these student athletes kind of day in and day out, there is a point where it does always turn to spiritual direction, because we are a body and a spirit all in one all the time. So that was something that I do truly believe that I learned from the best of the best, in not only learning how to be a coach from just the kind of tactical element of it, just the you know, physical side, but also from the spiritual side
yeah.
as well.
Yeah, just beautiful.
Yeah.
And while we're sharing stories, I'll never forget being in church one Sunday and sitting down for the homily and hearing someone in the pew behind me whisper to whoever was next to them, "This is the long, boring part." It's as if they would hit the fast forward button if there was one. I hope you are listening to this show regularly, that you have hit the subscribe or the follow button wherever you listen to podcasts, and that it's helping you in your faith life. And I hope you are not hitting the skip ahead button during the middle of each episode every week. It's important to me that you know that this is a ministry for me. It's something I felt God called me to do. In fact, I think on the first ever episode of this show, I might have told the story about being on a riverboat in Brazil on the Amazon River and hearing my calling to this type of ministry, meaning serving God through the mix of faith and sports. It's something I'm still really humbled by and blessed to be able to do for you week in and week out for well over 2.5 years now. I'm also honest enough to admit that the costs associated with doing everything involved in running Catholic Sports Radio do get quite challenging for me, unfortunately, since I am the only one doing all of this and I don't get any income from this, nor do I have any sponsors yet. You've heard in the past when I have publicly thanked listeners and guests who have made a financial contribution to Catholic Sports Radio, which is a tremendous help to me as it relates to the expenses that do add up so quickly. I also talk about how much I love the job that Merchantside Marketing Group did in building the website, and that includes the Donate to CSR button that they have on there for me, which makes it fast and easy for you to contribute securely online in any amount you wish. There's no drop-down menu of amounts to choose from. You put in whatever you're comfortable with. Alternatively, as some folks have opted to do instead, you can get in touch with me through the contact section of the website to ask for the mailing address, and I will personally write you back with details on where you can send a check. I'm grateful to everyone who listens to the show and would most appreciate your considering Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing as I continue working to use this ministry to bring more people closer to Christ. Linda, talk to us about a reversion that you say that you experienced after you attended Belmont Abbey College.
Yeah, so I think definitely I need to not, I wouldn't say this is an endorsement for the Abbey, it's more appropriate to just kind of call it a witness. Out of all the Catholic schools that I went to, I really, really appreciated Belmont Abbey's kind of commitment to being Christ-centered and to providing that authentically Catholic experience and education, and kind of that in conjunction with the Aristotelian type friendships that I encountered. The coaches who I named, Eddie and Amy, their sons actually went to Belmont Abbey College with me. So the Abbey definitely planted a lot of really great seeds. I think at every point in some Catholic's life, you're going to be challenged. Your faith is going to be challenged. And I think that's unfortunately a byproduct of our, fallen nature. When I finished up at Belmont Abbey College, I was really struggling with my faith when I was at the Abbey. But I'll never forget my first year there. I was in my dorm room with one of my friends, Liz, and we were talking, and something was on the TV, and somebody had, kind of had a horrific death. And I just remember saying, "Oh my gosh, that's such a horrible way to die." And we started talking, and Liz kind of says, "Yeah, when I die, I hope, it's by way of martyrdom. I hope I'm a martyr." Mm. And I didn't know if she was, because she was very, she was a hilarious, joyful soul. Like, I love her. So I didn't know if she was, she wasn't virtue signaling. She wasn't kidding. She was serious. And I was just like, "Really?" And she was like, "Yeah, I mean, we're going to die. Might as well, earn the martyr's crown." And I remember that it still to this day struck me to the point where I can think about it as if I'm in the room with her right now. And I remember thinking, "My gosh, this is so much more than just rosaries on the mantle or pictures on the wall. This is truth. Wow. This is something that is actually something that people would without hesitation give their life for rather than renounce Christ and his truth and the beauty that is Catholicism." And now it wasn't like that was just an epiphany. That was just an example of one seed being planted, right? When I graduated from the Abbey, I went back to Miami to coach with Eddie and Amy. And I was experiencing something that I think a lot of recent graduates experience, of just kind of angst, anxiety, what do I do next?
Sure.
And I was a little fearful, and I definitely have to say, if the Abbey planted good seeds, Eddie and Amy certainly watered them, and helped them grow way to fruition way quicker than had I just kind of let them, than if the seeds were just kind of left to be watered at any point. But I also think that's where we have to cooperate with grace and go where God and the Holy Spirit beckons us, because I knew I needed to go back to Miami. I didn't want to. My parents had a really, really hard divorce, and it was challenging to be back. But I knew I needed to go. And something that was kind of, it seemed like a subliminal, like kind of deal breaker, if I was going to be able to join their coaching staff, was I needed to attend daily mass with them. Mm. And I'm not a morning person. Daily mass was at 7 a.m. And I lived like 30 minutes to an hour away in Miami traffic. But I was like, okay, I mean, this was a perfect example of, we have the opportunity to do what's easy, which is stay in bed, or do what's right and what we ought to do. And I knew that was something that I ought to do.
Yeah.
And when I was consistently going, Eddie kind of pulled me aside and was like, we're going to keep going. You being on staff and just continuing to kind of grow and work with me, kind of be literally continuing to be my coach. And he mentioned how, there were kind of two reasons why they wanted me to go to mass with them. One, and the higher reason, was it's good to go to mass. It's important. The sacraments are important. And the second was he needed to know if I was serious, if I was really willing to put in the work, to kind of be, and not a continued athlete, but in order to continue kind of kind of to be coached by them.
Wow. Wow.
And that was kind of the start of my reversion or my metanoia, and just having conversations and encouraged readings, you know, reading books like He Leadeth Me by Father Walter Chiswick, Less Than a Minute to Go by Bill Thierfelder, you know, getting a subscription to the Magnificat. Like, these are all things that I was encouraged to do. And I think this also goes into why it's so important to mind who you surround yourself with, because they have a significant influence on your life. And of course, this was great to be again around a Salesian environment, as Immaculata LaSalle was, especially because this is, like I said to you in our conversations leading up to this, Salesianity was not only at Eddie and Amy's kind of cornerstone for their philosophy of coaching, it certainly is mine as well. And kind of as Don Bosco once said, you know, in every young person, there's that point of goodness that is accessible. And, you know, that's the primary duty of us educators and coaches, to kind of identify that sensitive chord and to draw out the best in these young people. Eddie and Amy did it for me while I was in school and after graduating. And that just kind of continued to lead me to, it is a lifelong journey to get to heaven, right? And it is, you need to be, you're called to be ever the student. And then again, as Augustine says, our hearts are restless until they rest in you. These are all things that we have to continue to seek out, even when it's not easy. It's still what we ought to do.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Fantastic. Fantastic. And folks, there's a couple of names that I want to give to you that Linda has mentioned. She quickly said Bill Thierfelder. He was actually a guest on this show way back on episode 56. And by the way, if I ever mention a past episode and you're not in a position to write it down, you can always email me and say, you know, which episode number was that? Who was it? Remind me, that kind of thing. Bill Thierfelder is the president of Belmont Abbey College, but obviously has some very strong sports connections. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been on the show. And episode 85, Tomas Cerdaris from Belmont Abbey Track and Field. So you see the connection, because Linda has been talking about his parents, ironically enough. Small world, of course. Linda, you are enrolled in the Brown Scapular Confraternity, which is amazing because last week, former pro basketball player Kristen Phillips talked about that as well. But to get a different perspective, as well as for those who have not listened to last week's episode yet, Linda, give us your insights on the Brown Scapular Confraternity.
Yeah, so as I mentioned, I went to a Carmelite elementary school, St. Teresa in Coral Gables, Florida. And when I was in first grade, they actually gave all of their students a brown scapular. And they went about, I think you have to have undergone your first Holy Communion before you can be enrolled. So I think everybody second grade and beyond was enrolled, but obviously I was in first grade, so I wasn't able to yet. But I remember, and by the way, I mean, just the faith formation that the Carmelites provided at St. Teresa was just so phenomenal. And I think it really was the basis of my understanding the rigor of Belmont Abbey's education. It was incredible, all of my schools, but in particular St. Teresa and Belmont Abbey. But I remember, you know, going home with my new scapular and I had my dad read to me what it said, and it said, you know, whosoever dies wearing this will be preserved from eternal flames. And I just remember being, you know, however old you are in first grade, 6 years old, and wholeheartedly understanding that that was true, and really, really believing it, and really, really wanting to wear it. So I had worn it kind of all the way through middle school until I had misplaced mine. But when I came back to when I came to Belmont Abbey College, they were selling brown scapulars in their Catholic shop, and I grabbed one with one of my friends, and a local parish was actually doing. It's crazy how there's no such thing as coincidence; there's only divine providence. It just so happened that that month our local parish was doing enrollments in the brown scapular, so. I think it just started off as true childlike faith and understanding the protection granted through the Blessed Mother, and that childlike faith that I always try to remind myself to continue to have. So that, and I remember when my grandmother passed, I actually, the brown scapular that I had had myself and had been wearing, I actually gave it to her when she was battling leukemia.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. And I have two very quick recollections when I hear someone talk about a scapular. Number one being when I made my first communion and was given by the Catholic school I attended, or perhaps it was the church at the time, a Bible so small it was about the size of my hand, but yet it had this pleather. It wasn't real leather, but it had this pleather book jacket, I guess you might call it, around it, and it had a pocket on the back, and inside the pocket was a rosary as well as a scapular. And then for CSR reasons, I also think way, way, way back to the 9th episode of this show when the guest was Baby Joe Macy, a former heavyweight boxer who finished with an undefeated record. He got to number one in the world where he would have fought for the heavyweight title bout, but suffered a serious head injury. And he talked about before every boxing match, he would put a scapular in his boots.
Wow.
So if you never heard that, go all the way back to episode 9. That was a cool one. Linda, you are also consecrated to St. Joseph. What drew you to him and wanting to do that?
Yeah, so I think to keep in theme with kind of the first thing we talked about, St. Joseph is one of the patrons of Italy, of the Italians. So I had seen a lot of imagery of him growing up. But I remember there was a quote that I love quotes. There was a quote that I came across, and it read something to the like of, the greatest saint who ever lived was not a monk, a priest, anything of that. He was just a husband and a father and a worker. And that was St. Joseph. And that kind of called attention to me that I could be a great saint without needing to, without the unnecessary anxiety of doing all these great things in my life, just, you know, being joyful, being grateful in the present moment at all times, and continuing to do God's will and accept His will at every moment in my life, even in the face of immense suffering, that using St. Joseph kind of as a model was something that really just drew me to him and to his protection. Also, at the center of Belmont Abbey College, there is the St. Joseph Adoration Chapel, where I did spend a lot of time during college. And I did spend a lot of time there when my grandmother, who I'm named after, and who she and I were incredibly close, when she was battling with leukemia, I spent a lot of time in there and was quickly reminded by a friend of mine that he was the patron of a peaceful death. And which is something that I had prayed for my grandmother's sake. And after her passing, I did make it a strong point to become consecrated to him and to just always seek out his protection and his example.
Yeah, and I like the picture that you painted of him and how relatable he is, you know, kind of a blue-collar saint, if you will. And, the quote you gave made me think, and obviously this has been said by, you know, everybody under the sun. I don't know who originated it, but I remember way back in the early days of the show when Sister Rita Claire Yochis was the guest. She had actually played professional football and had gotten a basketball scholarship. And Sister Rita Claire Yochis told me, this was episode 14, she said the line about every saint has a past and every sinner has a future. And I think that's what you think of when you think about, as I just said, a blue-collar saint, you know, like St. Joseph, you know, husband, father, someone that isn't untouchable, because you think, well, I can kind of do those kind of things. And then you think, well, wait a minute, I'm a sinner. Well, number one, we all are. And number two, all saints have a past. So it is very relatable. And so it's a nice choice that you made. Talk also about your devotion to the Holy Rosary and Holy Face of Jesus.
Sure, absolutely. And I think any Carmelite would call you to remember how the scapular and the rosary kind of go hand in hand. I have never been let down in my prayerful petitions to the Blessed Mother's intercession. And the rosary, I think, is just such a powerful prayer. And it is such a fantastic way. I mean, and I'm talking about not just, you know, praying it to say, you know, the Hail Marys on the 10 beads and the Our Father on the soul one, but actually contemplating the mysteries behind it. In particular, my favorite mystery, and I know it's it almost seems a little strange to say, but my favorite mystery is the sorrowful mysteries, the agony in the garden, because it just calls to mind, you know, how Christ felt every human emotion, how nothing we struggle with is unfamiliar to Christ in such an intimate way. And every Friday when I say the rosary and it's time to reflect on the sorrowful mysteries, it's just always such a beautiful, beautiful prayer to me. It literally does make me lost for words. Like I truly encourage everybody to consider building the habit of praying the rosary if you haven't already. And something else that I'm really thankful for is I have friends who I can pray the rosary with. I know I'm very fortunate in that light, in that regard. But it is certainly just incredible. And then the Holy Faith, I think, at least for me, I to contemplate the face of Christ is something that always gives me pause, and it's always such a good starting point for my prayers, to just kind of look upon the face of Christ. I actually have a necklace with the Holy Face on it, and it's just such a beautiful way to recall the ultimate sacrifice that God gave to through His Son to lay down His life for those who He loves so much, and just the agony that one could see from the crucifixion, of Christ's lifeless face, and it's a great reminder that that's not the end. Nothing ends on Good Friday. There's always Easter Sunday. So that again is a great reminder to have endurance in suffering. And of course, I think there is such power and goodness and good fruits that come from pondering the face of Christ and looking upon it.
I love it. Wow. Oh, what a great episode this has been. I want to encourage the audience to pray for you as you continue your graduate studies in psychology at Divine Mercy University in the hopes of becoming a licensed sports psychologist. I'm guessing that's online, Divine Mercy University, and for that matter, what year are you in? What is your expected graduation date? Those types of details.
Right. So I am online, and that is one of the three options. And then I am in my second semester of my first year. I should be I have about maybe three more semesters to go. I'm doing the fast track to finish in 16 months. So I'm doing the master's in psychology, which is 100% online. They also have the option to do a master's in counseling, which is kind of a hybrid. Where you do a majority of your courses online, and then you have your residency for your counseling practices kind of on site. And then their primary campus is located just right outside of DC. For their 5-year program of clinical psychology, so to earn a PsyD in clinical psychology. But it is right outside of DC, and this curriculum is absolutely incredible, Bruce. Its basis is kind of the integration of the three wisdom traditions of theology, philosophy, and of course psychology. So it's rooted in faith, but it's of course based in science. It's challenging for somebody who's gone to Catholic school their whole life and is a devout Catholic and succeeded very well in psychology up until through graduate studies. This is a serious program. This really is challenging. I mean, it is phenomenal, and I truly encourage anybody who's listening, if you have any affinity towards psychology and you want to look into graduate studies, Divine Mercy is an incredible option, and Also for the undergraduate studies, any Newman guide recommended college is phenomenal. Belmont Abbey College in particular, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Oh, fantastic. Really, really good stuff. God bless you, Linda. It's been so great having you on the show. Thank you for making time for Catholic Sports Radio. I really enjoyed this. Thank you so much for all of your great witness.
Yeah, Bruce, thank you so much, too, and God bless you for doing this and for having this platform. I think, you know, what a wonderful way to cultivate the gifts that God has given you, and thank you. As an avid listener, I hope there's 100 more episodes and then 100 after that.
Thank you. Thank you. That means a lot. That means a lot.
Of course.
Listeners, let's close this time with a prayer to play fair in the game of life. This is one that I've done in a handful of episodes, but it's been quite a while. So we'll do it together, of course, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Lord, in the struggle that goes on through life, we ask for a field that is fair, a chance that is equal with all the strife, the courage to strive and to dare. And if we should win, let it be by the code, with our faith and our honor held high. And if we should lose, let us stand by the road and cheer as the winners go by. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those. C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.